Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Daily Program.
No problem.
Now, could you give us perhaps a quick snapshot, if we have a quick snapshot, of the history of transgender individuals in the armed forces?
Okay, I guess in short, transgender members represent the ongoing challenge of any military to deal with diversity in its ranks. So, while it's not the same, the sort of issues are the same with bringing immigrants or black Americans into the American Army or, looking after gay and lesbian service members. So we know that in 1994, the Clinton government brought in the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, which was you could be openly gay in the military as long as it's, or you could be gay in the military as long as you didn't make it open. That was repealed in 2010. But last year, Obama permitted trans people to serve openly in the military, and this had something to do with the Chelsea Manning case. But at the moment, look, currently numbers are about 15,500 trans people serving in the military, and the debate is about whether they should be allowed to serve, whether they should continue to serve, and whether you should be allowed to recruit transgender Americans into the military.
Look, one of Trump's reasoning behind this apparent decision, he claimed, was the cost that would be shouldered by the U.S. military with gender transition, you know, medication, surgery, and the like. Is the cost a legitimate cause for concern? What's your feeling on this?
Look, if you look at the figures, it's not a legitimate cause for concern. This also spills into how there are some changes going into the healthcare system in the U.S. at the moment. There's been some resistance amongst insurance companies to cover transgender reassignment for the cost. So what the military provides is an environment where those healthcare costs are met for the various members. So, by the way, we're talking about the current numbers, they say, is about 240 members in the American military that would be looking for that service. Costs are around about 0.04 to 0.13 of the defence healthcare budget. It's very small.
Mm. Now, we've seen the military or some military figures pushing back on this one. What's your feeling? Is there much of an impact likely to be felt right now on trans individuals who are serving with the U.S. military or want to sign up with the U.S. military?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really strong backward step after all the kind of movements that the American military has been making towards diversity. I think that all those people that are in the military that are transgender will be feeling this is a huge backward step and be worried about their jobs. You know, there's talk about whether these changes will be rolled out immediately or over time, but whether serving members will have to leave. So I think it generates a environment of fear and conflict, and sets up a standard again, you know, which we've been through for so many years, and which we should be well past, is that people should be able to serve on the basis of their capacity and not being determined by their gender or sexuality or some other issue.
Actually, that's an excellent point you raised there. Just perhaps as a final point, Ben, as you mentioned there, this has kind of a diversity in the military has this history, and in the U.S., the example there, as you say, segregated regiments becoming desegregated. We've seen women introduced into different roles within the military. We've seen the "don't ask, don't tell" policy come through. Is this kind of fear? You've written extensively, especially on women in the military, for example. Is this kind of thing likely to create more of an atmosphere of fear, this kind of sudden turnaround from the U.S. president? Is it likely to sort of affect a great deal of serving members with this uncertainty about where they actually stand, whether they be trans, whether they be gay, whether they be women, whether they be black even? Is this likely to create a little bit of uncertainty?
I think it does. You know? One of the things we've been working towards in changing diversity in the military over the last 20 years has been addressing the central question of masculinity in the military. You know, masculinity is associated with being, you know, with a competent warrior, and it's the standard by which everything is determined, because it seemed to be, you know, you have to be male, you have to be aggressive, you have to be strong to be able to be a good soldier. And, well, you know, we've worked out over time that that's a furphy, and that people across great diversity can serve equally well. So this takes us back, you know, it takes us back to those sort of post-Second World War arguments about whether we should have black Americans in the military, or takes us to the 1980s when women were coming to the military, that we shouldn't have women because they would disrupt team cohesion, that they'll undermine military effectiveness. And this is what Trump's carrying on about at the moment, is that, you know, great cost to the military and great disruption. And they're both very outdated, very old, and very you know, poorly evidenced claims.
Well, Ben, thank you very much. Really appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
Thank you. Have a good one.